Good job, Pastor Steve Ford. I want you to know he's not the only one who has an activity bag. I got my own activity bag here for a purpose. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. And in all these years, I've learned that the problem wasn't the children coming to Jesus. The problem was the adults preventing the children from coming to Jesus. So in this Family Sunday, we're happy they're here. Amen? But Pastor Angel, what if they have a temper tantrum? Don't worry, God is not going to be surprised. He can handle it. You might need help if you're the parent. We'll love you through it. Today is Family Sunday, and we get to talk about God's family from God's Word, the Bible, about a glorious family, which is sometimes, follow me here, sometimes not so glorious. A glorious family, which is perfectly imperfect. I'm talking about the glorious family of God. And we are going to look at one of the most precious, most beautiful prayers in the Bible from the book of Ephesians, the pearl of the New Testament. But let me warn you before we begin. Let me quickly tell you what we're going to do so that you understand. You're going to get nervous and you say, Brother Garcia is going long and it's only on point one. And you know, so I want you to relax. I want you to hear God's word with an open heart, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's a warning first. You are going to walk away from church today wanting more. Yes, we're going to feed you, but it's only going to be a foretaste that I pray will prompt you to get on your knees and pray to God, asking God to give you more and more from this powerful, life-changing prayer. See, I told you I had an activity bag, and I got it right here. And I'm going to use this to illustrate what I'm talking about. Imagine only, okay, that you went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Some of you have experience. I can see it. And you pay, now it's pretty expensive. You remember that now. And you pay for eating supposedly all-you-can-eat. That's a scary thought, right? So when you go there, they give you a plate this small. And they tell you, this is it. This is all you can eat. How would you feel? I can see some of you right away will go, and hold your stomach. But then they tell you, you could always come back for more. So that's what's going to happen today. I'm going to give you a little plate because this is the fountain of glory in the New Testament. And you're going to get a taste, but when you want some more, come back to it. God has plenty for you. Then we're going to look at this prayer from the standpoint, from the lens of, from the point of view, follow me now, of relationships, namely the family. So in my 3 points about the family of God, I'm going to interweave the 4 requests for which, under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul the Apostle of Christ prays. And I'm just going to give them to you, just in case I don't get to finish, at least you walked away with those 4 points on your little plate. Number one, we pray for inner strength through the Spirit. We pray for Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. Number three, we pray that we will be rooted and grounded in love. And lastly, we pray for our hearts to grasp, to get a hold of the greatness of Christ's love. So if you're ready, and if you're willing, say amen. Amen. Some of you are ready and some of you are willing. You have to be willing too, and you have to be ready. So I'm going to give you a second chance, okay? If you're ready, can you say amen?
Amen.
Now we're ready. Now our scripture reading is going to be on the screen. When I was 16 years old, been a while, I memorized this prayer in Spanish. So today what I'm going to do, I'm going to recite it by heart in Spanish, as you follow in English. And at the end of this prayer, there's a word that works in any language, is the word amen. And so that I know that you were following me in English on the screen, when I say amen, at the end of this prayer, which will be our prayer, then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, amen. We got it? We're ready? So here we go. In Spanish, it's going to be on the screen. This is what Paul the Apostle of Christ writes to the beloved church, his family in Christ, the Ephesians. He says, for this cause, oh, I got to switch to Spanish, I'm sorry. Thank you, Donna. See, I was in English and I forgot to hit the switch. So here we go. In Spanish. Por esta causa, doblo mis rodillas ante el Padre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, de quien toma nombre toda familia en los cielos y en la tierra, para que os dé, conforme a las riquezas de su gloria, el ser fortalecidos con poder en el hombre interior por su espíritu, para que habite Cristo por la fe en vuestros corazones, a fin de que seáis plenamente capaces de entender con todos los santos cuál sea la anchura, la profundidad, la altura y el del amor de Cristo que excede a todo conocimiento, para que seáis llenos de toda la plenitud de Dios y aquel que es poderoso para hacer todas las cosas mucho más abundantemente de lo que pedimos o entendemos, conforme al poder que actuó en nosotros. A Él sea gloria en la iglesia, en Cristo Jesús, por todas las edades, por los siglos de los siglos. Amén. Say amen. 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 Give God the glory this morning. I've studied this prayer with intentionality for over 40 years, and it always drives me to my knees. I have preached from this text over 25 times, 25 different messages, but I never, ever, ever before had approached it from the standpoint of family and relationship. And if you came into this world, you know that God used a family to put you here in this world, and that's hopefully how all of us came into this world. So if you are part of the family of God, and I'm hoping that you are praying this for me, and I'm praying this for you, Paul tells them this, that there is a reason, there is a cause, that there is a driven cause that makes him get to his knees. And I believe that this reason of which he speaks that makes him bow before the Father is found in chapter 2. I know we read this in chapter 3, but you have to go back. And don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm only going to summarize it for you. What Paul is saying, when you begin to grasp all that God did, all that God went through to make us the family of God, and for us to be able to call him Father, you get on your knees. When I see what he made us alive in Christ, when I see that he made us alive in Christ, when we were spiritually dead, that he saved us by grace through faith to be his poema, to be his craftsmanship, that through his blood, the blood of his son Jesus, we were far off, but he brought us near, that he took the wall of separation down so that we are no longer aliens, we're no longer enemies, no longer strangers, no longer foreigners, and he made us fellow citizens with the saints, giving us access by his Spirit to the Father, and made us members of the household of God. I tell you, I get on my knees. In short, God the Father, through Christ the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, made us the glorious family of God. He made us the dwelling place of God. My family, you I'm talking to. My family, you are my family. If that doesn't get you on your knees, you need to check your blessed detector. It might be broken. I want to remind you this morning, when you read chapter 2 and you get on your knees on chapter 3, you realize, follow me here, that you are too blessed to be depressed. First thing I want us to see is found in verse 14c. I want us to see the fatherhood of God. Now, you got to follow me before you get too excited. Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me how Paul refers to God. Notice how he refers to God. Now, he could have used a manifold number of adjectives and attributes of which God is indubitably deserving. Amen? But he comes in a unique way. I love it. He comes from the perspective of relationship, of family. He could have used all these names and attributes and be all over the galaxy saying all that God has done, but he comes with a childlike faith and with the same name that Jesus used and taught us to pray in prayer. Paul calls God, follow me, Father. Our Father who art in heaven, Jesus said. Abba, Father. I don't know if you hear it, but I just, when I see that and when I read that and when I hear that, I see relationship there. I see intimacy there. I see closeness in that name. There is provision in that name. There is protection in that name. There is providence in that name. There is no fear or trembling in that name except that of reverence and respect, because His perfect love cast out fear and cast out the bondage so that we are not fearful anymore. We're not like pagans in the old times that they were fearful of their false god, and we do not have to appease them and we do not have to pacify their anger. We come as children to a loving, tender, and caring Father who loves us. So I ask you this morning, and this is a very important question, is God your Father? I pray that you will be able to answer that. I think I heard a child say amen. Bless you. I pray that you will be able to answer that in the affirmative. But if you can't, I pray that by the end of this message, you will have the opportunity to respond and choose to make it so. So, now this past Father's Day, I got the weirdest gift ever. I got the weirdest gift ever on Father's Day. And I must confess, I was not expecting it. It bewildered me, it confused me, it perplexed me, it bamboozled me all at once. Some of you, I can see, was like, what is it? What is it, Pastor Angel? What is it? I'm not going to tell you. No, sir. I am going to tell you because you're faithfully listening so well. So I told you I brought a bag here. I actually brought the gift too, right in here. I got it wrapped up in here. You're not going to believe it. I was bamboozled. I got a DNA test. I was not expecting that. I'm thinking in my mind, is this a subliminal message? Are they trying to communicate something to me? So I'm curious because I want to know what's going on here. I asked my daughters, the ones who gave me, my three daughters got together. I guess this must be really expensive because, you know, it took all three of them to get it for me. So I asked them. I said, tell me why. I almost sung that song, tell me why. You know, I almost sung it, but I said, I'm not going to tell you their names. I'm going to respect their privacy. But suffice to say that the firstborn who's watching online from Indiana, the firstborn said that she thought it was a good idea. She went right to the point, said, I just thought it was a good idea. Then, not saying her name either, the curly hair one, the one we thought would become a lawyer because of the way she would argue everything. We thought she was going to be a lawyer for sure when she grew up. This is what she said. I kid you not. I had to write it down. Dad, so that you find out more traits and information about yourself, find a breakdown of original ancestry going back hundreds of years, trace your lineage, and find family you didn't even know you had. Man, it's getting heavy, this thing. Then the baby, I'm not going to say her name, but the baby with her. My childhood psychologist said this, because you're so difficult to buy a gift for. A mom said no more books, and you said no more clothes. Actually, that's not, I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. This is what she said. And she said it very eloquently and professionally. I just want you to know the history of your ancestors so that you could know more about yourself. I want to give you a spiritual DNA test. And hopefully at the end, you'll be able to tell whether or not God is your spiritual father. Paul here, the apostle of Christ, is not, say not, is not teaching the universal fatherhood of God. That is, that God is the spiritual father of everybody in the universe. No, no, no. Let me say that in Spanish now. No, no, no. He's not doing that. In essence, he's given us a spiritual DNA test. And I ask you again, is God your father? Are you his child? Are you part of the family of God? Now follow me. God is the creator of all of us. He is our creator. And while God is the creator of all things, visible and invisible, he's only the spiritual father of those who by faith in Jesus come to him, who believe in the Savior. The Bible clearly teaches that we need to be adopted into the family of God. We need to be born from above. We need to be born again to be part of the family of God, for God to be our Father and for us to be his children. Now, I found a verse. You can write this on your note from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. That say exactly what I just said about he creating us, but about our need. It talks about our need for us to accepting and believe in him so that we could be part of the family of God. This is what he says. He, talking about Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Listen now, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Here's the good news right here. God has done everything necessary, everything that was required, everything possible, so that you could be his child. So that you can come to him and call him Father. So that you could be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I like to say it this way. I usually say it during Christmas, but it could be said at any time. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of man can become the children of God. I want to give you the good news this morning. God can be your Father if you come to Jesus. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. God wants you to be part of the family of God. Second, I want us to see clearly where we get this idea of the family of God, and we're going to talk about it in detail a little bit, and hopefully I could do that a little bit quicker than what I thought. Look in verse 15, he says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, there's so much here in this short, tiny verse that I had to contain myself before I exploded. Some of you don't get this, but I need to let you know, I was born in an island called Puerto Rico. And you could take me out of the island, but you could never take the island out of me. And all the Puerto Ricans sitting over there said, amen. And because I need to contain myself, I will only point out a few things and leave you hungry, so that you come back with your little plate and get more from the fountain of glory. Paul now talks about the whole family. He mentions that this family originates, gets the name from God. Now, we don't see that in the English language or in the Spanish language, but in the language of the New Testament, you could clearly see that on purpose by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The words that he used are just interwoven. You cannot separate it. We get our name from being part of the family of God. Not only does it say that this family is in heaven and earth, it says that it is precious. This is, now let me tell you something that you might be able to understand. I hope you follow this with me. This part right here, just this text, it's become specially and dearly precious to me since I became an orphan. Now, I say that I'm an old man, but when you lose your parents, you're officially an orphan. Both my parents have passed. I had the ineffable blessing of leading them both to Christ, and I got to baptize my mother. And some of you met her because back in the old times when Pastor Dean was pastor here, he would sometimes ask me to come and bring the word, and I would bring my mama because mama wanted to go with her boy wherever he went preaching anywhere. And you know what she called this church? She called it the big church. And she would say, she didn't call me pastor. She said, Angel, when are you going back to the big church? So I tell her, she loved to go with me whenever I got invited to churches to hear me preach. And I tell you right now, this brings comfort to my heart in such a way. Because even though I don't have them here on earth, I know they're part of the family of God above in heaven. They are with that celestial family above, follow me, in a special place, prepared people by the Prince of Peace. I don't know if you knew how many P's I just used right there. They are in that celestial above family, in a special place, prepared people by the Prince of Peace. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I didn't invent it. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. I just pray that brings comfort to you if you've lost a loved one recently. In the Bible, there are many pictures. There are many illustrations of the church. We are told that the church is like a human body with many members, with Christ Jesus as the head. It's also called a bride of Christ. It's called a building not made with hands. It's called a house of God. But my favorite one, you know, you want to know what my favorite one is? It's this one right here, when the church is called La Familia, which means the family. You think I'm kidding? When we planted the Spanish church, you know what we call the church? You got it. La Familia. And the text makes it ultra clear that Paul is talking about God's family. Not celestial bodies, not galaxies or angels or archangels. Now, I know that some of you think so, but I'm just going to give it to you from the 1980s, okay? If you remember Rocky Balboa, anybody? Oh, some of you, careful, they might punch. The first Rocky that I watched when I was a child was Rocky III with Mr. T, Clubber Lang. You know, Mr. T beat up Rocky really bad the first time, right? And then when he got beat up, he didn't want to fight anymore because he thought all the other fights were fake and arranged. And then Apollo Creed comes and, you know, Eye of the Tiger, Eye of the Tiger, Eye of the Tiger. So he's trying to run, but he's just, I don't want to. You remember, how many of you watched it? Come on, be with me. Come on, we're in the church, you have to be honest, okay? And then Apollo looks at him and said, I'm done with you, and walks away. But then his wife, Adrian, comes and said, tell me the truth, Rocky. Yeah. For those of you who are married, you understand that part is really important. I said, I don't know, Adrian, I just don't want it anymore, you know? We have all these cars, we have all this money, and you know, we don't need this anymore. And Adrian, little Adrian, looks at Rocky and says, that's not it! Tell me the truth. You want to hear the truth? I'm afraid. She got the truth from him. So I'm here to tell you, that's not it! What he's talking about is a family that we have in heaven and on earth. That's what he's talking about. And in the context, it's that family that goes beyond earthly relationships. We're part of a larger family that transcends earthly boundaries. This family includes those who have lived before. It includes us now, you and me, and those who will come after. The glorious family of God is still growing. Jesus is still saving people. And in this verse, he includes the celestial and terrestrial. And sometimes we say the local church and the universal church. Or sometimes we say the big C church and the little C church, the invisible church and the visible church. And I know when I say that, I've met many people who tell me, well, I don't go to any church because I'm part of the invisible church. You ever met anybody like that? I don't go to any church. I'm only part of any church. You know, I'm just part of the universal, of the invisible church. So I just want to be honest with you. And I'm going to let it rip, okay? Let me just be honest with you. If I can see you, and if I can see you with this tiny Chinese little eyes, well, I'm not Chinese. Maybe I am. I haven't done my DNA test yet. But I want you to hear me now. If I can see you with my eyes, you belong in a visible local church. Stop playing games. Get down with God and do what he wants you to do. Amen. He wants you to be serving in a visible local church. And that was just free for you. Now, you might have noticed that I referred to this family as glorious. You notice that? And some of you said, glorious? You are local, local, local. Have you been around the church lately? But Pastor, how can this family of God be glorious since it's made up of imperfect people? That's the only kind of people that exists. How can this church be glorious? Pastor, this people are imperfect, but we might be imperfect. I'm going to tell you why. But we have a glorious God. We have a glorious Savior. We have a glorious Father. We have a glorious Spirit who indwells us and empowers us. And check this out. Don't forget this. We got a glorious destination. Amen. We're not glorious because we're good or perfect, but because we're His and His forever. Have you ever heard somebody say something that's not in the Bible, but it sounds like it's in the Bible, so you start looking for a Bible verse that goes with what you think the principle is, right? Like, God help those who help themselves. I mean, I'm still looking for it. I haven't found it in the Bible. But today, I think I found it. Today, I can say, huepa, yes, I found it. That, for those who speak Spanish, that huepa part. And it was the good old late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I love that man. For 50 years, he taught the Bible on the radio through the Bible. Who used to say, and I would hear him say that. I said, where does he get this from? And this is what he used to say. To live with the saints, they hurt you, they bite, they talk about you. Certain ones that only God's grace can deal with them. Don't look around now. Keep looking at me. My family, and I'm referring to you. Let's stop pretending that we never fall short, that we never miss the mark, and that we never blow it. We all need God's grace. Good point to say amen. Yours truly, less than the least of all of us, no wings, no halo. I need His grace every day. And if it weren't because His mercy is inexhaustible, unending, I would have used it all already. You remember last week when Elder Tom Wrench got up to do the benediction? I don't know if you guys were listening, because sometimes you want to get out, you know. I understand that the buffet can wait, you know. He said something. He said that imagine the half-brothers of Jesus having to live with a perfect brother who never sinned, who never messed up. You remember that, right? I kid you not. This is true. I got my witnesses. Those of you who sit right over there. In that moment, it was a perfect moment. I touched my brother Orlando, who sits in front of me. I said, I'm sorry, Orlando, I had to do that to you. You had to live with me. Could you imagine how difficult it was to live with an angel for a brother? So I'm so glad that God inspired Paul to use the illustration of family when he's talking about the church, because it's something we all can relate to. Amen? I already told you, most of us came into this world via family. You didn't just appear like Melchizedek of old. I know your parents told you the bees and the birds and all of that. I understand that. But I'm here to tell you, you came here through a family. You were born into a family. Even the Lord Jesus, whose birth was miraculous, the virgin birth, God placed him in a family. So now what? I'm glad you're asking. Now you're stuck with me, and I'm stuck with you. I'm your brother, you're my sister. You're my sister, I'm your brother. We must love one another, rooted and grounded in love, as we are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inside, as he works from the inside out. We must allow Christ to be at home in our hearts, in our families. That's what Paul means when he talks about Christ living in our hearts by faith. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about sanctification. It's like you coming over my house and I say, mi casa es tu casa. I'm not telling you that I'm going to give you the title of my house. I could give you the mortgage payment if you want to pay for me. But all I'm telling you is make yourself at home. Welcome. Feel at ease. God wants to feel through Christ and his Spirit welcome in your heart. He wants to settle in your heart as a family member. So quickly, I got to move quickly. Here are some Bible principles that apply to both the human family and to the celestial family of God, the spiritual family. And as I get ready to share these principles, please keep in mind, this is really important. If I have to stop right here, this will be a big place, important place to stop. But I want you to keep in mind that God sees family more important than your ministry. Pastors, elders, deacons, teachers, all of you, remember this. God sees family more important than your ministry, more important than your church, than your job, your education, your bank, and God forbid, your 401k. In God's sovereign order, the family comes only second to a relationship with God. It is God first, family second, church third, and so on and on and on. Please, please don't wait till you come to that time to die to realize this truth. Don't wait till it's too late. As one who's by God's grace been given the blessing to officiate hundreds of funerals, I had never met a person who on his or her dying bed said to me, oh, I wish I would have worked more overtime. Oh, I wish I would have had more money in my 401k. Oh, I wish I would have had more cars. But never in that moment, in that crucial moment, they always talk about two things, inevitably and inescapable. This is it, God and family. Amen. So please don't wait till that moment comes. It's about God and family, nothing else. I'm going to have to skip a lot of stuff right here. You could come and ask me later, and I go to your house and preach the whole hour for you. We have to be willing to fight for the family. The family is under satanic attack. And when it comes to family on earth, I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to spare you the details. But I'm here to tell you that family is worth fighting for. I'm going to give you a true story that happened about 50 years ago. And I'm giving it to you as a description of what happened, not a prescription of what you need to do. It just happened to be true. And this is back in the day when I lived in Puerto Rico. Back in that day, we lived in a 15-story high condominium that had about 180 apartments. Can you picture that? Now remember, this is a time before they call ADD, ADD. They used to call it ants in your pants. And I want you to confess right now, I had ants in my pants. And in the hood that I live, there were only two kinds of people there. The quick and the dead. If you weren't quick, you were dead. We lived in the 8th floor, apartment A01. Please do not send me any mail there. I no longer live there. I live in Flint, Michigan now, where there are only two kinds of people there too, the quick and the dead. You're getting it. You're getting it. But on the 6th floor, this is staying in my mind. It's been over 50 years. On the 6th floor, there was a boy named Alex. He was a bully. Apartment, I even remember the apartment. Can you believe that? Apartment 606, which is very close to 666, if you ask me. Alex was about my age, but he was way bigger than all the kids. And so he used his physical attributes to bully smaller, not so big kids.
enter my little brother Orlando.
Now, I know this is hard for you to believe because right now this is not the case. But there used to be a time when he was smaller, shorter, and skinnier than me. And I need to say this because some people might not believe it, but I do have the pictures to prove it. And one day, we were just playing in the the condominium had this playground there, basketball courts, you know, slides. And all this. My mom just sent us, hey, you guys with ants in your pants, go downstairs. So there we were, ants in our pants, playing in the playground. And in that day, I see this commotion going on. You could almost see dust flying up because the sand was like. So I run over there to see what's going on. And there it is. Alex is fighting my baby brother. Oh! Say that in Spanish. Oh! Now, this is before MMA. This is before mixed martial arts. But I'm here to tell you, that day, I stopped being a heart-playing angel, and I became a warrior angel. And it quickly went from MMA to WWE because I jumped into the fight. We went Speedy Gonzalez on Alex, and we went Roadrunner on Alex. And we're there right there, and it was happening really fast and furious even before that movie came out. And this is how it went. It went bang, bing, bang, bing. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just telling you what happened, okay? Bing, bang, bing, bang, 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 and real fast, real fast. And then and my brother and I, we just had it together, you know, because we used to fight each other, so we knew our. So now we're fighting Alex the bully. And I kid you not, it's going to be hard to believe. In the middle of the bing, bing, bang, 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 Alex calls a timeout. Timeout! Timeout. What's more incredible is that my brother and I granted him the timeout. And this is what he said. It's not fair. It's not fair. Two against one is not fair. I think I said something like this. When you mess with Juan Garcia, you mess with all the Garcia. And we went right back to the bing, 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 bing. And then the adults came in and separated us. But needless to say, Alex never tried to bully my brother again. Like I said, I'm not trying to advocate for violence. Is your family being attacked? Is your family under struggle? Are you willing to fight on your knees like we were singing for your family? Are you willing to get on your knees and say, Lord, I need inner strength. I can't handle this. I've done everything in my power, and I just give it to you right now. Take over. Or are you just happy to watch from the outside, saying in your heart, well, I'm glad that's not me. That happened to him, that crazy Puerto Rican pastor. Or do you cry with those who cry? Do you mourn with those who mourn? Are you okay watching your spiritual family suffer, struggle, go hungry, go without, just because you don't want to get in the battlefield? I beg you, please, don't give up on your family. Why not, Brother Angel? Why not? Because God doesn't give up on your family. You shouldn't give up on your family either. God has a plan. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. God will make his purpose known to you. Now, I'm going to have to skip all this right here. And my tablet just went crazy. I mean, couldn't handle all that I said. It's like it's all repeated here. The last point is a fountain of glory. I don't know if you notice this. When I go to a buffet, I want to make sure they got plenty of food, especially if Orlando's going before me, because he'll wipe it all out. You want to go to a place that you go back and there's more and there's shrimp and there's ribs and steak and you go back and there's more and you lavish yourself some more. That's good. That's good. That's better. There is a fountain of glory. Hallelujah. That never ends because it is according to his riches in glory. It is something that you can never exhaust, and you can come back again. I'm here to tell you, if God indwells you, if his spirit has empowered you, and if you have allowed love to master you, then you can come back to that fountain over and over again, and he giveth and giveth and giveth again. His grace never runs out. His mercy never runs out, and his love perfects you to love even the unlovable. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. This has been a crazy Sunday for me. My tablet's not working. Maybe it's good for you. But on the way to church, I almost got killed in an accident. That just plays with your mind. And now this is happening here that I could show you. I can't read what he says on here. It's not in Spanish or in English. But this morning, as we get ready to sing our final song, I want to ask you to do something that we do sometimes. We don't do it all the time. But I think because this is in the context of family, in the context of relationship, and in the context of prayer, as we sing, if the Lord is putting your heart to come forward to pray, you come and grab your wife, grab your loved one, and come and pray. I want to be right here and pray. I want to challenge you to get on your knees and fight the battles. I want to challenge you to realize that, like that missionary in the Dominican Republic told me, the devil saw me with my head down, and he thought he'd won until I said, amen. I want you to come as we sing and fight on your knees. I want you to be a Ruth that when Naomi said, leave me, go back. You have no future with me. She said, you ain't getting rid of me that fast. I'm going to be with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And only God hold me accountable, but only death will be able to separate us. I want you to love them because God loves them. I want you to love them even if they looked like they were baptized in pickle juice. Because love overcomes. Because we overcome evil with good. Oh, they hurt me. Love them. Oh, they talked about me. Love them. Oh, they betrayed me. Love them. God loves you. Even though we're not perfect, but we're His. So I will sing. You come. And then Pastor Darrell will have the benediction.